Oh, hey. It's episode 41 of Extra Features.
I'm not deleting that, by the way.
The all-singing, all-dancing review show.
Leave the shirt on, Kevin. Please, leave the shirt on.
All right. I know the idea of me taking off my shirt has already incurred the blind side from you fellows. A really awful pun. But that's
very punny, Kevin.
Yep, I do what I can. The Blind Side is directed by John Lee Hancock. Enough said there. Starring Sandra Bullock, Tim McGraw, Quentin Aaron, Kathy Bates, Lily Collins. Really, Phil Collins' daughter. I didn't know that. Jai Head, man. And Ray McKinnon as Coach Burt. So, The Blind Side. Sandra Bullock won an Academy Award for her performance in this movie.
She did.
Is it a well-deserved Academy Award, or...
I think it's a really dull year of movies for the Academy.
I have to say it wasn't a great movie year, yeah.
It was not a good movie. She was excellent. Don't get me wrong. She was excellent. But Julia Roberts turned this down.
Yeah, good.
And I think Julia Roberts could have done... And she turned down the proposal, too. So Sandra Bullock's two biggest paydays.
Yeah.
For movie-wise, because Julia Roberts said no to both. And Julia Roberts could have pulled this movie off just as well.
She could, but she would have been playing the same character she did in Aaron Brockovich, though, wouldn't she?
Similar.
And she doesn't need the money.
You know what? I like this movie.
I thought it was fun. I've seen the real Leanne Tuohy talk, too, and she talks exactly like her.
They introduced her at the end of the movie. Like, they introduced the whole family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know, but I've seen her talk. She was on The View or something. My wife was watching it.
Oh, okay.
I want that stated. My wife was watching The View, not me.
Uh-huh.
I believe
you there. You were practicing.
I was walking by.
You were walking by. Did you happen to notice on the TV that this person was on there?
Yes.
So you were watching The View.
Don't try
to be funny. It just doesn't work.
I know I am making fun of your favorite show, Bob.
Baba Waltos. Hi, I'm Baba Waltos. I'm eating Fritos and drinking orange juice.
Yeah. Okay, so Blind Side, it was okay. I liked it.
That's it? That's all you have to say?
I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. I thought it was good. Sandra Bullock was good. It was a nice story.
That's it.
They played football in it.
So you have nothing to say about this, really.
Not really. It was like, I watched it, and I'm like, you know what? I like the kid.
The kid was the best.
He was the best.
Because he find out what they were.
He was negotiating.
I loved him.
It was the only thing. That was good.
But overall, I thought this was just another one of those made-for-TV movies, just blown up to something bigger.
It's very, very rare for me to see a movie these days that I would say, rent this, take it home, and watch it with the family. The Blind Side is one of those movies you could rent and watch with the whole family.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hold on. You can't take the Hurt Locker home and watch with the whole family?
No.
No.
Oh. You haven't seen the Hurt Locker, Bob?
Yes, I have.
Oh. Did you review it? I hope we did. Yeah, we did last show. Sorry. Two shows ago.
You were on the ride over here. Yes. You were telling me about how the aliens were speaking. You were speaking Greek.
I'm not going to pay for it ever since.
This is a good family film, and it's a nice story. And
it's one of those ABC after-school specials.
Yes.
No.
I have a question for you guys. Speaking of actors returning, did you guys read Joaquin Phoenix is coming back to acting?
Stay away.
Okay.
I guess his rap career didn't go as far as he thought it would.
Joachim.
Yeah, he's coming back to Edgar Allan Poe.
Okay.
I just thought you guys might want to know.
Simon, there are a few things that I hate in this world.
Nina Vardalos is one of them.
Nina Vardalos is one of those.
And Valentine's Day is another.
No, I don't hate Valentine's Day, but I hate
this movie.
The movie, I hate Valentine's
Day. No, it's Rachel Dratch for me and Nina Vardalos together.
Directed by Nina Vardalos and starring Nina Vardalos. Wow. And her boy toy, John Corbett, Rachel Dratch, and Joe Kazan. Listen, I'm going to start this one off.
Okay.
This was one of my worst movies of the year, with good reason. Like, who thinks, like, all right, I don't get the Greek wedding thing. I mean, it just hits some nerves. People who come over, you know, part of immigrant families or I don't know, whatever it is. You know, like, there's every family has their own little quirks and stuff like that. I guess people liked it. This movie has nothing going for it. She runs a flower shop. It's Valentine's Day. She's never been in love. Poor Nia. She's got quirky people she works with, quirky people she knows, like every other friggin' movie she does. It was boring.
Actually, she said she didn't, like, really believe in Valentine's Day. She wasn't into the whole thing.
Yeah, but she made the money on it.
Yes.
Anyway, and she hires Corbett, who moves in a business across the street or something.
Pizza place. Pizza and wine bar or something.
And after that, it was like a 90 minutes of blur and like time waste. Okay. It was like on a bad acid trip. Okay,
now let's back this up to the last episode. Strange Wilderness.
Oh.
Valentine's Day.
Well, okay. I want Strange Wilderness.
Can you know we burn what? Strange Wilderness and compare these?
Can I just take the gun option as her number 3 because I want to shoot myself? This movie's horrible. Who told Nina Vardella she could act, first of all? She made one movie.
Write movies. Oh, she also did the other one, Life in Ruins, which we have not ruined my life by watching.
What, you're the one that's holding us up on
yes,
that?
Yes, I am. I don't want my life in ruins after watching another Nina Vardella film.
You know what?
I end up just having you guys do it.
I like to die. It was better than this, but I can't.
So, Bob, what did you like about I Hate Valentine's Day, since I know you're going to say you thought it was okay?
Actually, no. Well, yes. It wasn't that great. No. I'm not going to give it a thumbs up. I'm not going to give it a thumbs down. And I'm not going to give it a thumbs in the middle. It's sort of below a thumbs in the middle. It's okay. It's okay. But if like Simon said, if you want to compare that movie and Strange Wilderness, I'm going to pick I Hate Valentine's Day time.
You ready? I got some Nina Vardella's directing techniques for you. Turn camera on and dance. Da-na-na-na. Like, she does nothing. Every camera angle looks like a bad sitcom angle. The same angle, shot straight on.
She's the Kevin Smith of romantic comedies.
Oh, my God, Kevin. Don't even get me started on Kevin Smith's latest movie.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
No. I have. Hey, guys, let's shoot I got an idea. I'm Nina Vardellis.
Guys, we're going to shoot this scene, and you guys are all going to be here in the flower shop, and I'm going to tilt the camera a little bit to the right, and then a little to the left, and when Rachel drafts come in, we're going to talk about sandwiches, and what's the matter, and how we don't fall in love.
She doesn't move the camera because she's in every freaking scene. Close up.
Well, we got to see the mole on her face.
Oh. Pass.
And she gave up cheese, she said.
Wow, I give up.
And why does E.T. have this on? I don't get this. I was watching E.T. It's the only reason why I knew this movie existed. Entertainment Tonight did like a whole coverage.
I saw it on E.T. and said, I have to make them watch this.
Absolutely. Because I know Bob loves Nina Vardellis.
Yeah, okay. So the next one. After 3 movies. Next movie on our list is Whip It.
Whip It Good.
Drew Barrymore. Na, 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 na. Starring Drew Barrymore and Ellen Page from Juno, Marcia Gay Harden as her mother, Juliette Lewis, singer Eve, Kristen Wiig, Jimmy Fallon, Ari Greener, Zoe Bell, Alia Shawkat, Daniel Stern, and it's one of the brothers, right? One of the Wilson brothers is in this.
Who is? No, Luke. Owen.
It's not Luke or Owen. It's a third brother.
There's a third one?
The guy that's the coach is one of the Wilson brothers.
Is he in Bottle Rocket?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a third one?
There's a third one.
I did not know that.
Zoe Bell's in this, too.
She's on the list.
Mary Greener is on here twice. So is Zoe Bell.
On there twice.
That's all right. Don't
doesn't matter.
Just whatever.
Okay. Well, move along with your day.
Moving right along. All right, so little Juno is not happy at home. Her mother makes her do
work
beauty contests, but she doesn't like it. She secretly aspires to dress up in goth clothes and get tattoos and go to the roller rink.
Come on, Marcia Hardy likes those viewer, those beauty contests.
She does. It means a lot to her.
It does.
But Daniel Stern understands.
He does. He's the best.
He's an understanding
I don't think
guy.
He cares.
All right, so Whip It.
Whip It good.
Did you like it?
No.
You didn't like it?
Awful. As soon as I see Drew Barrymore, my eyes just roll in the back of my head because she stinks. I never thought she was good. I never have thought she was good. And every time she's directing and I read, oh, Drew Barrymore's the greatest director, Mike. Drew Barrymore? Meet Nina Vardellos.
I'm not going to go that far.
No, she's awful. This movie is just boring. It's like the two people from Juno decided just to follow the same career path.
Thinking of Jimmy Fallon.
Who's Jimmy Fallon play again?
He plays the announcer at the roller rink.
Oh, okay. Whatever, he's there. I just have nothing positive. I like Kristen Wiig. She's the one who I actually like in this movie. She's from Saturday Night Live. She's the one with the kid.
Right.
Picks her up in the car. Gives her the rope lesson, I think.
Right. I think it's because she could be Amy Adams' sister.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Amy Adams.
No, I know. That's why I think you.
But that's
anyway,
it.
All right. And Bob, what do you think?
Loved it.
You kind of liked it.
I'm going to go ahead and buy it. And can't wait to own a copy on DVD.
You liked it.
Yeah, I didn't. I'm moving my lips, but somebody else's voice is coming out.
But it sounds like my own thoughts.
Not really, because I'm going to...
Not really. I kind of like it.
I like it. It was great.
I pass.
Don't pass. Speak up. Be a man. Stand up for yourself. All right.
It was okay. I'm not going to say buy it. I'm not going to say rent it. I'm going to say make up your own mind, because it was okay.
Let's back this up. This did premiere at the Toronto Film Fest, or did show at the Film Fest.
Yes, it did.
You were excited for this movie, and don't say you weren't. You were talking, I can't wait to see Whip It.
I did, but I didn't even go to the premiere. You and I were basically somewhere else.
Hey, we had to meet Dr. Brashear.
Sure we did. Anyway.
This movie stunk. There's no point to seeing it. I thought it was boring.
I'm gonna disagree with you. It didn't stink.
It was not good.
It didn't stink. And it wasn't terrible.
Is it better than Kansas City Bomber?
Where's Kevin, and what have you done with him?
It was okay. This movie was okay.
I can't even give you okay. The only person I liked was...
Debbie liked it. We watched it.
Okay.
Oh,
you know,
Debbie.
It was okay.
Debbie liked it. It was okay.
If I watched it by myself, I would probably...
Shoot yourself.
It was, no, not that bad.
Okay.
It was, like I said, it was okay. Ellen Page is cute.
I'm done with Ellen Page
being
cute.
The stupid salary line where the guy takes her T-shirt and dances, someone else wears it, and then they go into the pool and they drown.
Oh, I can't even remember.
There's a whole underwater sequence where they cutesy, it's cutesy.
They sneak
articles of clothing and
remember that.
But they're underwater the whole time. Of course, not going up for air. Chlorine doesn't bother them.
They're an avatar. These were avatars.
These were avatars. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't good. You know who the best person in the movie? Surprisingly,
Eve.
Daniel Stern. But no, I'll just jumping around. You know who was good was, and I hate her. She's one of my least favorite actresses on the planet.
Marcia Gay Harden.
Juliette Lewis.
Yeah, she was fine.
She was okay as the rival captain.
She was fine.
So there were some nice scenes there. Anyway,
I just thought this was dull.
It's nothing compared to the excitement
dull.
Of the next movie. On Couples Retreat, directed by Peter Billingsley, starring Vince Vaughn, Malin Ackerman, John Favreau, Jason Bateman, Kristen Davis, Kristen Bell. And, intern. Yes.
Oh, that would be me.
That's you.
Okay. Couples Retreat. Vince Vaughn and Peter Billingsley working together again.
Big surprise, since they're buddies.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't a surprise, but I just thought I'd put it out there. I'm going to say I like the movie. I actually rented it when it came out. It was good. It was a typical Vince Vaughn stuff. He's good.
I think good's a stretch.
Dodgeball 4.
I love Dodgeball. Don't screw Dodgeball. Dodgeball's a great movie.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge
a
ball.
Why is Jason Bateman still allowed to make movies?
Every movie has Jason Bateman.
I told you that.
We live in Jason Bateman's
world. I'm just
world.
Like, this movie is dull. Absolutely.
It's fun.
It's not fun. It was kind of interesting for about 20 minutes. Fun. I like Jon Favreau. I always like Jon Favreau as an actor.
Me too. I like Vince Vaughn too.
And I like Vince Vaughn.
And I like Kristen Bell and I like Kristen Davis. And
I like them all, but Malcolm Ackerman needs acting lessons.
Oh, yeah.
Still.
So.
Still.
I heard this movie was terrible, and I was expecting it to be terrible.
I didn't think it was terrible.
I ended up thinking it was just okay.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't great. It wasn't bad. It was kind of indifferent. It was better than Whippet. It entertained me for a week.
Yeah.
A week was like an hour. 20 minutes.
I'm not wearing any drawers. Take your pants off.
I never got more exciting. Expected more. I expected a good belly laugh. Like, Hangover gave me that. And I never got that for this. It's kind of like, this is dull.
Yeah.
It's just dull. Like, Kristen Davis is dull normally, and they dulled her even more. And Malcolm Ackerman just proves she can't act. Just totally, she couldn't hide.
Malin Ackerman.
Oh, I can't.
This is like the sequel to, what was that movie she did with Ben Stiller?
That's exactly what I was thinking. I can't remember the name of it, and I've seen it. Did we review it? I think we did.
Yeah, I think so. I didn't like that movie either. Lovely Bones, directed by Peter Jackson, formerly Lord of the Rings director, starring Saoirse Ronan. Is that the girl?
Yes.
Stanley Tucci, Mark Wahlberg as the father, Rachel Weisz as the mother, Susan Sarandon as the mother-in-law, Michael Imperioli as a cop, Nikki Shuhu. Amanda Michalka, the singer with Sister Ali.
What are these notes for? I don't know what that means.
These intern notes are a little bit much, but all right. Wow, Lovely Bones, which is a serial killer movie.
It is. It's all about
different.
Fantastic.
Liked it.
Loved it.
Oh
number.
My. Gosh.
It is on my list of best movies of the year.
This movie was really good.
My wife had read the book, and I asked her to see this with me, and she said, not a chance.
I watch a lot of movies. I mean, we all watch a lot of movies, right?
Some people more than others.
And I found this movie very difficult to watch.
I thought it would be on difficult. I have kids. I know you two guys don't. So for me, the loss of one of my children would do exactly what it did to Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah.
Like if I thought one of my children was murdered, I would spend the rest of my life trying to find out who murdered them. And I totally got that. I bought it. Maybe because I have kids, and maybe that's probably the main reason. But I bought into this story.
I mean, all right. Basically, this is this girl. These are the highlights of her life growing up to this point in the early 70s. And she says, but, you know, I'm dead.
Yeah.
I'm telling you here from this point of view, I'm telling you going backwards that I'm dead.
And this is who killed me.
And this is who killed me.
Yeah.
And rather than something happens, she's dead, they investigate a crime. It's her from the afterlife.
Yeah, telling you the story.
Echoing in on her life, on her family's life. And, whoa, I mean, I just.
It blew me away. What a fantastic movie.
I know, like. Like Debbie could never watch this movie. I talked about it at the night, and she's like, I can't watch that. I would. It's too intense.
It was intense.
And I know other people that would be like that. I know I will buy this film. But when I buy it, will I ever watch it? I don't know.
I thought this film was so visually stimulating. Everything was awesome.
Yeah.
I love when she goes to. The netherworld or whatever.
The in-between.
The in-between, that's
it.
The in-between.
Yeah.
And she's there talking to the other girl.
I
hate to ruin this movie, but I figured her out instantly what that character was.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't know Stanley Tucci was a serial killer yet.
Right.
We did not know, but I'm like...
He
did a good job of disguising himself. I only just barely recognized him when he smiled. That was
But I'm like, I know he killed her.
I actually thought he was the guy... I can't remember the actor's name. He looks a lot like Bruce Willis. He's done a zillion films.
I don't know who you're talking about.
He was the Russian in Armageddon.
I've never seen Armageddon.
Oh,
what?
Anyway. Taking out our studio now, are you, Kevin?
What's that?
I know. I just thought this movie was so... I want to talk about... Like, did we like the imagery? I thought the imagery was phenomenal.
The imagery was great.
Imagery was interesting. The bottle ship stuff was a bit much.
It hung, but I think he had to. But he breaks all his stuff when he just goes nuts.
You see it in the you see it in the afterlife in between. You see what he's doing to the ships. You see it in the afterlife. They're all destroying themselves.
Yeah.
He's destroying the bottles.
That was just amazing.
I thought, whoa. That was
amazing. I'm glad they didn't show the scene when he rapes and kills her, because I don't think I could have handled that. And they said they discussed...
Did they show that in the book? Or did
they do it in the book. That's what my wife said. She couldn't see the movie because of that scene. I said, well, they don't do that. I said, but they hint at it. But they don't really do it.
Two things bothered me about this movie.
The end?
Yeah, two things. The first thing was when he goes after the guy into the woods, the father goes after him, he's got the baseball bat.
Yeah.
And he gets beaten up by the...
Really easily.
Yeah.
I thought too easily.
I thought that was a bit much.
I think he was attacked from behind. He did was like...
And, you know, I'm ruining the end of the movie, but when she possesses the
icicle
girl.
Yes.
It was just flying by.
Okay. And she gets her, she makes love to the guy that she wanted to go out with.
Yes.
While her body is being dumped into the, you know, it's a whole scene, a tense scene where, you know, her body, they know the body's in that.
That's so intense.
And they're going out after him. And all it would take for her to say to someone, my body's in that safe.
Exactly.
And they could have proven it, and the guy could have suffered punishment and stuff like that. She chooses instead to have her first time.
But we got to think, she's 14.
Right.
Okay, we're looking at a 14-year-old girl. We're not looking at me, you think rationally. She, I mean, 14-year-old girls want to be kissed. Look at Twilight.
Yeah, but it wasn't even like a first kiss. It was like a first...
Whatever. But you know what I mean? That's what girls are thinking about this time. Twilight kind of proved that to us, haven't it?
Yeah, but from the whole second act of the film is her influencing others to catch the killer, to make him pay for
but,
what he did to
her. Yeah, but she's never had the opportunity to make love before that time, and it's finally there.
I don't know. To me, that was annoying.
I can see that, but I love the way they shot it.
With the icicle.
Yes.
In the afterlife, that it would later echo on and cause something to kill him later.
I thought that was great the way they killed him. I loved it.
Really good film. Really good film, and a tough film. Not for the faint of heart, because it really does. It's really emotional. And of course, those are the years 73, 74. I mean, I was a young. I was 3-4 years old.
Yeah, I was same.
I remember that world. I mean, this is the world of my childhood.
Yeah, same with mine. And it was very innocent. You could go off and do what you want.
Yeah, and your childhood.
But you could do what you want in the 70s. I mean, nobody really talked about it. We just started hearing things in public school about kids getting snatched. Yeah. I remember that in public school, but it wasn't really talked about.
We lived in a world innocent of serial killers and violence.
Yeah, which did exist, but it wasn't talked about.
Yeah, you know, because of the way the media now, there's like you're picking up on it more. Because of the internet, and because of everything else, then it was just like the news didn't get to you in time. Like, but now it's just like almost instantaneous.
Well, now because we have the internet and everything, and this and that, it's all instantaneous. I don't know. This movie's just intense. I loved it. It's my favorite movie of the year so far.
Okay, and then to bring it down a bit, the last movie in our new releases is The Surrogates, directed by Jonathan Mostow. And starring Bruce Willis, Rheta Mitchell, Rosamund Pike, Boris Kodjoe, James Cromwell, and Ving Rhames. What do you think, Simon?
Choppy.
Surrogates.
Very, very choppy movie.
Yeah.
I know it's based on a comic, which I've never read.
No.
I just wish it made a little bit more sense. Like, I found they had a direct linear path. I got that.
I think Raganizi is the graphic novel creator.
I think you're right.
They contacted me and said, we want to come to Toronto. Surrogates is going to be a huge hit. It's been adapted. I'm like, you know what? These adaptations of sci-fi type of graphic novels, you know, the source material tends not to be great.
Correct.
I find. And I don't know. This one, it was probably a one note. It probably was not the story that we saw in the movie with Bruce Willis. I mean, an interesting idea, but in the end, I mean, I like the idea of him being different in reality than he is in his surrogate.
Yes.
And having to deal with not having a surrogate.
Yeah.
And how it affects you psychologically.
Yeah. But overall, but I found it just so choppy. I could have been forever to get this movie going. Oh, he's awful. God, I feel bad about Vic Rames. Never really got his career going, striptease to this. I'm just like, he's always been that C-level actor.
No, yeah.
I can't say I liked it, can't say I didn't like it. I was kind of like, it was okay.
Yeah.
But science fiction is really hard for me to like, I find. I have to really buy into it.
Yeah.
And I couldn't buy into this movie ever.
No.
The whole time, I was just like, eh.
I don't recommend it. It's like a okay video rental, if you want
to. Yeah, I would think it's an okay video. I rent this over management in Strange Wilderness.
Oh. Keep on coming back.
Not saying much.
I can't resist.
Mm. I'm not sure I thought much of the movie either. After seeing it, I had trouble watching it. And now after saying choppy, I'm looking back at it and I'm thinking, yeah,
I just need a good editor. I just found it didn't make sense. I kept going from here over to there and took forever to tie it together.
Yeah.
And it finally got to the end. I was like, eh, okay. It
kind of reminded me of iRobot.
Never seen it.
How is it I'm picking all the movies that he hasn't seen today? Like, he's seen every friggin' movie on the planet.
I've seen a lot of
movies. I've seen iRobot.
Yeah.
With Will Smith?
Yes.
Okay, jeez.
Oh, wait, no, I lie. I have seen iRobot. Oh, wait, I did see iRobot.
Choppy sci-fi.
Yeah, it has James Cromwell in it again.
Yes.
I have seen iRobot. No, I'm thinking of AI.
Oh, AI.
I've seen iRobot.
AI with, no, that's not, or am I, no, that's Centennial Man. Or Bicentennial Man.
Never seen that either.
Oh, my God.
That was terrible. Oh, my God.
Bob owns it. He's waiting for the Blu-ray. He's got that.
No, I'm not waiting for the Blu-ray.
All right, so what do we, it's overall mediocre for me on surrogates.
Yeah, there's nothing to say about it. It's just Bruce Willis's career right now seems to be right at this mediocre film level.
Yeah,
it's not one of his better films.
I think he stopped making good films. I think now he's just doing it for money.
All went downhill after Striking Distance.
Which I've never seen.
I don't think I've seen it either.
Just kidding. Striking Distance is not a good movie.
But he seems to just do movies for the money now. Like, he doesn't need it.
He's always done movies for the money.
I know.
No,
doesn't
Die
do
Hard
them for the fan.
Oh, he's making Die Hard 5 now.
Uh-huh. He's also Yippee making Kai. A film called Red.
Okay, and speaking,
right,
here we go.
This is Sparta. Open the vaults.
This is Sparta.
I have no idea.
What is it gonna be?
You're gonna have to download and find out.
Nice. So I'll never know.
I am
you told me you've been downloading them.
Yeah,
it tells you a lot of things.
All right. Wow, Quentin double feature. Kill Bill Volume 1 and Kill Bill Volume 2. Starring Uma Thurman, David Carradine, Daryl Hannah, Vivica Fox, Lucy Liu, Michael Madsen, and more. Volume 1. Two movies are very distinct.
Absolutely, they are.
Volume 1.
Loved it. Absolutely phenomenal nonstop action.
Yeah.
Really enjoyed Volume 1.
Crazy 88s.
Loved Crazy 88s. I love that Chinese chick with the crazy ball thing.
Yeah.
She was wild. I thought this movie was great. Absolutely loved it. Bob hated it. I thought the ending scene with the blood squirting out of everybody was phenomenal.
Oh.
Just hysterical.
Jeez. Monty Python.
Come on, Vivica Fox and
Knife. We all know that I'm not a Quentin Tarantino fan. This movie just proves that point. It was okay. I'm not a big fan of the first one.
Well, we're reviewing them separately.
I know
so
that.
Volume 1.
Volume 1. I thought it was okay.
You can even go by sequence.
Sequence?
Yeah,
sequence.
You could.
Yeah. So there's the wedding sequence.
Which I loved. Which didn't make a lot of sense, but it did in the end.
Yeah.
That's probably why I didn't like it, because it didn't make sense.
At the beginning. And then it goes to the knife fight with Vivica Fox, I think.
Yeah, it's just the violent stuff. You see.
I love violence.
You see the more of the pre stuff in Volume 2. But there's the Vivica Fox scene where she fights with her in front of her daughter.
That's yes. a good one. I like that. Okay.
And then they stop.
Like the Lucy Liu one.
There's the hospital stuff.
Yeah.
That was good.
That was really cool.
Pussy Wagon.
Yeah, Pussy Wagon.
Where she learns how to move her feet again after being
moves her toe.
Atrophied.
Move the toe. Move the toe.
That was good or no?
Yeah, I loved it.
And then the Lucy Liu stuff, which is the whole second half of the film. Oh, sorry. The whole Hattori Hanzo sword stuff where she goes to Japan to get a sword made.
I will make you a sword. This will be my last one.
That was okay. But that was the weakest, I think, of the segments.
I don't care. I love this movie.
And then the whole fight with the Crazy 88.
Love the Crazy 88.
The fight with Lucy Liu in the garden with the snow.
I just thought it was fun. I can't take this seriously at any time. It's just kind of wild.
I love
you broke it down into scenes, right?
Yeah.
He did.
Okay. Now, the scenes by themselves, great. The whole movie together. Simon said one word that in the last movie, The Zergits, choppy. That's what I'm going to say about it. Choppy, because apart, it's good, but altogether, yeah.
I don't know what to say to that. I like it. I disagree with
it. I like Kill Bill Volume 1 was really, really good. I thought it was entertaining.
I enjoyed it, Bob. I think you're missing the point. I think it's supposed to be fun.
I'm not missing the point because this Quentin Tarantino does the kind of choppy movies that they go back, forth, back, but forth, back, forth.
That's,
I forgot that movie.
Reservoir Dogs?
No.
Pulp Fiction?
That's the one. That was choppy, too. It went back, forth, back, forth.
What a great 2 weeks. Pulp Fiction, Shallowgrave, back to back. One week, one the next. Danny Boyle's first movie.
So, I don't know. I like Volume 1. So what about Volume 2, which is a little bit differently?
Slow. A little slow for me.
Right, because it's a long sequence where Derek... Now we know that Bill is David Carradine.
Yes.
So there's the whole sequence with the wedding, her wedding.
Yes.
Where he comes in and says he's her father or whatever.
Yes.
And then there's the scene with Buck.
Yes.
And then there's the scene with Pai Mei, where she's training.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And then there's the big fight with Daryl Hannah.
Black Mamba.
Yeah. And then there is the final showdown. Well, no, there's a little bit in between where she deals with the pimp.
Yes.
That protects Buck.
Yep, Michael Madsen. Was that Buck?
No, that was Buck. Michael Madsen's Buck.
Buck has the best scene in this movie.
The guy that plays the pimp, Ernesto or whatever.
Can't remember.
He's the same guy that plays the sheriff in all the films. He's just like he was in From Dusk Till Dawn.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, gonna go back in the back of the show.
Oh yeah, okay.
And he was in the Grindhouse.
I don't know. I still like this scene when Michael Madsen's in the strip bar. Uh-huh. The guy gives him his schedule. He's like, why not be here at 7? Uh-huh. There's nobody here at 7. Uh-huh. Why the point? You don't want to come at 7? That's fine. And crosses off his whole week of working.
Yeah.
I just love that scene. Yeah. That was hysterical.
Different, yeah. Very differently paced, but still good. I mean, together. They keep talking about
a three.
Together. No, putting together Kill Bill, the Ultimate Edition or something like that.
And they're going to put the scenes in order?
They're going to put the scenes in sequence.
But do we want that?
I don't know.
That would bug me, because the filmmaker, obviously, Quentin, did not want them in sequence.
No.
That's why he made two different movies.
Right.
So would it screw you up?
He doesn't want to do a single version at one point.
Yeah, because he wants more cash.
But, yeah.
Like, let's be honest, that's the whole reason why he's doing it. Not for any other reason. I think one's good and I think two's solid. I don't enjoy it as much as one. Bob?
I like two better than one, actually.
Of course you do.
Well, I'm sorry, but once I watched two, this is why I wanted, not why I wanted, but after watching one. After watching two, one made more sense. So that
one makes a lot more sense after two.
Yeah, because it expands on what happened at the wedding. Like, I didn't get it the first one. I just didn't get it. But after seeing the second one, I got what happened. I started to like understand what the movie was about. But like, I thought two was better. Like, except for when Kevin broke it down. I like the scenes broken down, but altogether choppy.
I have a question for you, Kevin.
So,
last show you said DVDs were dead.
Yeah.
Now I've had time to ponder this. When are they going to stop making them?
Well, I don't know if like the problem is is that everybody has a DVD player.
Right.
They're cheap. They're available. So I can't see them actually stopping making.
So my $4.99 bin diving at Walmart will still exist.
Probably, but at some point you're going to say, "Why am I even spending $4.99 on this format?"
Because I can get great movies like Rebound, mm-hmm. and Strange Wilderness, and Management.
Just killed the conversation.
But no, I mean, I go to Walmart, like I was saying earlier. They have these great things, like get four movies for $10 on one DVD. Mm-hmm. You know, and I mean, I like buying Wiggles discs for my daughter, two movies for $5. Mm-hmm. She doesn't care if they're in Blu-ray.
Well, it's an ultimately disposable format. There you go.
Well, I agree. She could destroy them tomorrow, draw her own Wiggles characters, and I wouldn't mm-hmm. care. Okay, just wondering.
All right. So next movie on our list is
The Hard Way,
directed by John Badham, and starring Michael J. Fox and James Wood, and the party crasher Stephen Lang, who's in Avatar right now, Luis Guzman, LL Cool J, Annabella Ciara.
Yora.
Penny Marshall, Delroy Lindo, and Christina Ricci. As a kid.
I didn't recognize her.
I did, but yeah. So The Hard Way. Michael J. Fox, Hollywood actor, sees James Woods, badass cop, on television one night.
I want to be him.
And decides, I want to be him in my next picture. I want to study. I want to be out on the street. So he goes to New York to be partnered with James Wood. And there we go. What do we think?
Typical 80 movie. That's when I finished. I'm like, wow, the 80s are back.
Well, it is. It's a 90s, like 1990 or 1991.
Oh, yeah, but it's still filmed like an 80s movie. Feels like an 80s movie.
It's an 80s buddy cop.
Exactly movie. Like an 80s buddy cop. That's exactly what I thought of it. I didn't think it was a bad movie. Yeah. I thought it was a solid movie.
I like it. It's got great cast. It's really good.
Cast was solid.
Yeah.
I thought Emil Scoria was excellent.
And one of those films that people just... You know, either didn't see or just was tired of.
I think this was the end of the 80s, and that was why. Came out the wrong... If this came out in 80... Well, right after Back to the Future, it would have been a hit.
Yeah.
And I think it just came out a wrong time period. I think the script probably kicked around for a while.
Yeah. You didn't see this, did you, Bob?
Actually, I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. It was good.
Yeah.
As you said, a solid cast. It came out during the 80s, right? I missed it.
I think I saw it in the 80s, but I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure it was like 91.
Oh, then I saw it when it came out.
Okay, I still missed it. But
didn't see Top Gun, but saw this.
You guys, what?
I have now. That? I've seen Top Gun now.
Oh, you have seen Top Gun, but you didn't see it when it first came out.
No.
No. So you don't know that
Maverick
and his friend who's Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards dies in the plane, and he goes... He likes to save them, so...
Typical 80s movie again. That's the 80s formula right there. Hard Way, that... I don't know. I like this movie. I think it's pretty good. I like James Woods. It's when James Woods had a career. Are you falling asleep, Kevin? Are we keeping awake?
I'm falling asleep.
I like this movie
a lot. I mean, I own it, and that's why I brought it up.
On DVD, not DVD, Blu-ray.
On DVD. Who knows if it'll ever show up on Blu-ray. It'll be 10 years until it is... It's one of those forgotten films that just, but it's an, I find it's very enjoyable.
I like it a lot. No issues at all.
But that's because I have some weird thing for Michael J. Fox.
Come on, Delroy Lindo's in it, though. You gotta like it.
All right, double feature time again. It's The Mask of Zorro, directed by Martin Campbell, starring Catherine Zeta-Jones and Antonio Banderas, Anthony Hopkins.
Love this movie.
Great movie.
Fun movie.
I love it. Anthony Hopkins is great.
I like Anthony Hopkins in almost everything I see him in.
And so is Anthony Hopkins. Antonio Banderas is really good. The horse is great.
I just like it.
Zeta Jones, this was her first major movie, the one that everybody went, wow. She's gorgeous in this movie.
Yeah, still couldn't act, but who cares?
Well, they did that scene with the swords.
I love that scene.
That was a good one.
And the tango.
I love this movie. That was just fine. A great popcorn movie. Beginning, middle, of end. Anthony Hopkins passing the torch to Antonio Banderas.
Antonio Banderas.
Not a great promise. I really enjoyed this movie.
I did. And that's all I can really say. There's nothing good to say or bad to say about it. It was solid.
And then...
the sequel.
Years later, The Legend of Zorro.
Why? Horrible movie. Awful movie. Oh, it was bad. For what high expectations I had for this.
Yeah.
High. Lofty.
Has to divorce him to protect him. What's the guy's name? Is he even on here?
I don't care. You're going to have to talk about it. I don't even remember half this. I saw this was so long ago. You put it on the list, and I'm like, I'm not rewatching that. I remember hating it so much.
Yeah.
Just how it stunk. Awful movie. Awful movie.
Down from the first one.
Yeah.
Bob, did you see The Legend of Zorro?
No, Bob didn't. Lucky for him. He got a break.
You're out of this now for the show, right?
Yeah, Bob's finished.
Spectator.
He is.
Now, what we decided to do is we want to make sure that in every episode from now on that we review either a film by Alfred Hitchcock or Orson Welles.
That's because of me, I guess, because I love these movies.
Greatest directors, arguably, for, you know.
Who's better than these two? I mean, Peter Jackson's moving up on my list very strongly.
Well, you know, classic. James? Let's say this is a classic era director.
Then there's nobody better than these two.
Those after 1970, I mean, even though these guys weren't around for the tail end of the 70s, you know, really, when it gets down to it, this is a different type of filmmaker. These are, you know, inspirations are much different.
But you know what? North by Northwest still stands up. Mr. Oregon stood up. The Strangers stood up.
Oh, I'm not saying that they don't stand up. In fact, I'd say that these two directors, more than anyone else, influenced modern movie making.
Well, Peter Jackson's influenced by Hitchcock, no doubt about it.
De Palma is like basically...
Hitchcock's son.
Yeah, I mean, it's just... Anyway.
De Palma's so amazing.
We've reviewed a few Hitchcock and a few Welles films before in previous episodes, so we won't revisit the ones we've done.
No, of course not.
So, but we're going to start this one off with Mr. Arkadin, a.k.a. Confidential Report, directed by Orson Welles, came out in the 50s, mid-50s. Stars Orson Welles, Michael Redgrave, Patricia Medina, well, that's all we have listed here. There's stuff about what she had done. Who cares? So, thanks, Bob.
You're the best. Want a cookie?
What did you think of Confidential Report? Now, there are multiple versions of this film that exist.
Yeah, I just watched. I can't remember which one I watched. We have different copies, I think.
Okay.
I got mine from Zip.ca. It's whatever they sent me. I watched. I got the Creighton, whatever that company.
I have the Criterion one.
So we did see the same one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I mean, I actually found the restoration documentary more interesting than the actual film.
Really? I really enjoyed this movie. I had no clue. It didn't seem to make any sense.
Well, I mean, the premise of the film is that Arkadin, who is a rich, mysterious figure, hires the junior man to research his life.
Yes.
To find the trails of how he got to be where he is. So it's like Citizen Kane.
Right.
In a few ways. Like Citizen Kane, which you haven't seen.
I will by next
time. Basically, journalists trying to piece together Kane's life.
Right.
To understand what his final word means, Rosebud.
I know what it means.
Yeah.
It's been ruined for me.
Everybody knows what it means, but the journalists never found out. So, Arkadin is doing this to cover his tracks.
Correct.
He's alive. He's not... No one's trying to figure out. He just doesn't want anybody to know where he came from, because those are weaknesses.
That's right.
So.
But he figures it out.
Right.
And that's the problem for him.
He knows that ultimately, in knowing the secrets.
He's got to die.
Right.
I saw this so long ago. I wanted this to be reviewed a while ago, but we could discuss it. It was fresh.
We gave up.
We gave up waiting for Bob to watch it. So, I thought this movie flows. I thought this is, yes, Bob.
Choppy.
Well, if the thing would work, it would have been watched.
I don't know what you did. Probably use it as a coaster for weeks on end. Ew. With your Diet Coke on it.
Used it for a frisbee after.
This movie's very choppy.
Very, very choppy.
But you know what? It must have been shot piecemeal. I really thought it was.
All Welsh films after like 1950 are shot piecemeal.
Well, it shows.
As the money runs out, yeah, the shooting stops.
And then
it goes and does a Hollywood picture.
It comes back, continues.
Puts money, films some more.
I don't care.
Money.
Love Orson Welles. He's getting fat, though, at this point.
Yeah.
I like the mass scenes, but he shoots those. Any scenes with lots of people,
yeah,
I love them. He's got so much going on.
Actually, Welles in this film reminds me of the Marvel villain, Dr. Faustus.
Yes.
You know, with the monocle.
And yes.
And big flaming red hair and beard and stuff like that.
Yes.
And he hypnotizes people, but
ooh,
it could be Mr. Arkadin.
It could be.
I like the film. It's interesting. I have always find it interesting to go back to the 1950s, because the 1950s in filmmaking was such a transitional era and kind of underrated, because, you know, 40s, you're still studio Hollywood pictures, right? A little bit of maybe a little bit of outdoor stuff, but it's usually on the lot in a controlled environment or on a soundstage. 1950s, you're out there on the streets, you're seeing people, you're seeing rubble, you're seeing buildings, especially in Europe. Europe is still rebuilding after World War II. You know, a similar film to this is to me the second greatest movie ever made, which is The Third Man.
I thought Jaws was the best movie ever made for you, Kevin.
I know.
Okay.
Jaws, Third Man.
It's Kane's third?
Yeah.
Not in your email, it is.
Yes, it is. Well, I just said it's universally accepted as the greatest movie.
Well I'll tell you after I see it.
I love The Third Man.
So do I. I think, again,
I love, but
if you're a film buff, you have to watch every Orson Welles movie on the planet. I haven't found one I don't like.
He loved Europe. I mean, you can, really
you can tell.
That. Yeah.
But I just think he's just such, the way he gets things out of scenes and things. I just like the way he shoots things.
Mm-hmm.
They're always different, and he always makes himself larger than life.
Yeah.
Like, he has to be the star. Not so much the star. He wants to be Norma Desmond in every movie. It's Orson Welles coming down the stairs. There's no doubt about it. And whenever they shoot him, there's nobody else in his scenes usually.
Yeah.
Like, he has definitely a shot just of him. Then he shoots the other guy. He has, like, furniture in the background and stuff. I notice his scenes are just almost always him.
Yeah.
In all his movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I've noticed that about him.
So, if you're a fan, check it out.
Yeah, I think you have to be an Orson Welles fan for this one. If you're not an Orson Welles fan, I don't think this one stands up that well.
If you're curious about Welles and you haven't seen it, I wouldn't pick this as the starter film.
No, I'd pick The Stranger.
I wouldn't pick. I'd say go watch Citizen Kane.
Well, I'm going to.
Well, I know, but I think that if someone coming to Orson Welles and is interested, start with the first.
Not Ricky Tiki, though.
No.
Not Ricky Tiki.
Not F for Fake, either.
I have that next. That's what was coming up on my list, too.
Yeah.
On my stack.
So there you have it. This is episode 41 of Extra Features. I'm Kevin.
I'm Bob.
That must make me Simon.
And if Bob watches it?
Simon makes us review it.
If Bob watches it, we're all shocked. Because it means he's finally watched something he's had for 6 months.
Oh.
Goodbye.
All right.
Goodbye.
See you next time.